भगवते वासुदेवाय।
This evening we're going to read a verse from the Bhagavad Gita as it is by Srila Prabhupada from the 7th chapter entitled Knowledge of the Absolute, text number 27.
Iccha desha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani sammoham sargayanti parantapa.
Iccha, desire, dvesha, and hate. Samuttena, arisen from dvandva of duality. Mohena, by the illusion. Bharata, O sign of Bharata, sarva, all bhutani, living entities, sammoham, into delusion, sarge, while taking birth, yanti, go, parantapa, O conqueror of enemies. Translation, O sign of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. Responsibly, you can all repeat. O scion of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. Purport. The real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears by his own internal potencies. But those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc., thinking, this is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife. These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Iccha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. O Sion of Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities, arisen from desire and hate. So I chose this verse this evening because as I listen to the news and as I read the paper and as I log on to the internet and around the world it seems that there is an increasing atmosphere of hate, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that. Here in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is explaining to Arjuna that we come into this material world troubled by desire and hatred, or sometimes the same word dvesha is translated as envy. We were originally with Krishna in the spiritual world, therefore Srila Prabhupada said back to Godhead, in other words back to the place where we came from. So it appears that somehow or other we became envious of Krishna's position. This is quite amazing because we are described as anu or atomic. We are very small. And Krishna is vibhu. He is unlimited. Krishna is not only the sum total of everything, but he is more than that. Purnasya purnam adaya purnam eva vashishyate. Even though so many complete units emanate from him, still he remains the complete whole. He's not diminished in any way at any time. So Lord Krishna is all-powerful, Ishwara Paramakrishna, Satchid Ananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. He is the supreme controller. As it is said, not a blade of grass can move without his sanction. That's pretty heavy control. Not a blade of grass can move in the wind without God's sanction. He's fully conscious everywhere. Mayatatam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. In his unmanifested form, he pervades the entire creation. And he's fully conscious of everything, of vidya swara. He's fully independent and he's fully conscious of everything. He's karana karanam. He's the cause, the original cause, the cause that has no previous cause. For everything in the world you can find there is cause and effect, and you had a cause, your mother and father. And they had causes, their mothers and fathers, and then like that. You can take anything back and back. But Krishna is that person who has no cause. He is eternal and original. So he is all-powerful, and he is the eternal, original, living being. And somehow or other, we became envious of him. We have always. even now, and even in the spiritual world, we have independence. Minute independence. We are part of Krishna, tiny samples, just like if you take a sample of gold from a gold mine, that gold will be exactly like the gold in the gold mine. All the same qualities. It will be yellow, it will have a certain density, it will have various properties, it will react with other metals in a certain way. But it's not equal in quantity to the gold in the gold mine. In the same way, we are equal to God in quality, and God is fully independent. So we also are independent, but minutely. We have chosen to reject the spiritual world based on our desire to enjoy independently. So when we come to this material world, we're already infected with the hate and desire virus. It's terminal. And we've all got it. So, how are we going to live in this material world where each one of us wants to be Ishvara, where each one of us wants to be Purusha, the enjoyer, each one of us wants to be the controller, each one of us wants to establish his own ego? The only way is if we somehow or other are able to curb down this false ego. False ego means, the first manifestation of the false ego is that I think that I am the body. I think that I am Serbian and they are Albanian. We think there's a difference. Seeing the difference and using that difference as a cause for dispute, trying to establish our supremacy. So we think that I'm man, I'm woman, I'm black, I'm white, I'm this, I'm that. This creates delusion. Desire is not a bad thing. We don't ever want to kill desire. Desire means that we can desire very good things. We can desire to love Krishna. We can desire to serve Krishna. We can desire to have other people engaged in Krishna's service. Just see the attitude of great devotees. There was a great, great devotee named Vasudev Dutta. And he desired, sincerely desired, that everyone in the world should be free from suffering. He couldn't stand to see people in delusion, suffering without a cause. We're all, in one way or another, we're rebels without a cause. There's no need for all of this foolish suffering. It is very, very easy to live peacefully in the material world, to be prosperous. Krishna says in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he tells Arjuna that if you just follow my plan, I've given a plan. In the beginning of creation, I sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu. And if you follow this plan of mine, there will be abundance. Eshavos trishta kamaduk. There will be abundance of everything for everybody, both materially and spiritually. There will be no shortage. Even now, there is no shortage, but people are able to create artificial shortage. It is insanity. We are in a country where 70%, 80% of the people overindulge, overeat, and then waste so much more. And yet there are other parts of the world where people are fat. Not fat exactly, they have big bellies because they can't get any food to eat at all. It's called malnutrition. And all it takes is just the right attitude, a little freedom from material desire, and a little freedom from envy, and a little freedom from false conception of bodily existence, and a desire to have a peaceful world. So much hypocrisy exists all around us. And it almost seems sometimes that there's nothing we can do about it. So sometimes, being a little weak, we just surrender to the status quo, isn't it? We just go along with the society that we live in, because we really don't think we can do much about it. But it's not true. You can do a lot. You can become a change agent. You can become a role model. You can become a mentor for so many people just by setting a good example. Yad yad acharati sheshtas tat tat evitoro janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartate. Whatever the leaders of society do, the common men will follow. So you could think, well, I'm just a common man, I'm not a leader. But it's not true. You are a leader, because you have access to this knowledge which Prabhupada is talking about. You have access to this pure knowledge. Now, within our community, it may appear that there's a hierarchy, and there are more advanced devotees and neophyte devotees and different standards. But it really doesn't matter to the greater populace of the world. It really doesn't. Our little differences inside our community are insignificant compared to the vast difference between what you know now and what they don't know and need to know. At least you have all of us, we have a basic conviction that there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it is in our self-interest, it is our constitutional position. We can only be happy when we're engaged in His service. That's our constitutional position. Jiver Sarup Hoy Nitya Krishna Das Tatasta Shakti Ved Aved Prakash. But because we are Tatasta Shakti, we always have the choice whether to act in the right way or to act in the wrong way. And when we act in the wrong way, there is a chain reaction. Actions are not isolated. Each action is connected with a reaction, which is connected with another action. That's how you have individual karma and collective karma. Because actions are connected. So we have a responsibility. And it begins right here in our community. One of the greatest impediments coming from this dvesha, or hatred, or envy, is called Vaishnav Aparad. Now, I'm going to try to connect this to the problems that are there in the whole world. First of all, Vaishnav Aparad is described as Hati Mata. In the Puranas, the different types of offenses, which are obstacles on the path of devotional service. The path of devotional service is not difficult. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Just become my devotee, offer your obeisances to me, offer your food to me. These are all very simple things. Chant the Lord's name. It's pleasing. I constantly experience this everywhere I go. Even today, every day I experience it. Today I was out in Manhattan doing some shopping and meeting some people. One devotee has a prasadam cart at the World Trade Towers. I went to visit him. Nice devotee. And I met one other devotee in Hoboken. So, in the course of my traveling, at least 7 or 8 times, I met people on the street who said, Hare Krishna. And in fact, I was walking down Fifth Avenue, and another devotee walked up to me, and she was dressed in a very nice suit, and her hair was very nicely coiffed, and she looked very distinguished, and she was the head of some big magazine in Manhattan. She was head of the department, president of the department of this big magazine, very big magazine. And she pulls out her bead bag and says, Hare Krishna, Maharaj. And I was ecstatic. I said, you just made my day. And, you know, we talked, and so everywhere, people, they like, all the world becomes joyous hearing your name, and thus do all become attached to you. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna tells Krishna, all the world becomes joyous hearing your name. But the demons are afraid and flee here and there. The process is easy, but somehow or other, due to these obstacles and impediments, the pathway becomes difficult to traverse. There's a lot of thorny bushes, and it's slow. And the biggest thing, the Hati Mata, is this Vaishnava Aparad. Now, who is a Vaishnava? Well, it depends on what your vision is. A very, very advanced devotee, an Uttam Bhagavat, someone who's on the highest level, he sees that everyone is a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava means one who's serving the order of Krishna. So Krishna says, get old. And we're all getting old, so we're serving Krishna. Krishna says, get diseased, and we get diseased. So he sees that actually everyone is serving Krishna, either directly or indirectly, and he sees that I'm more fallen than anyone. He takes a very humble attitude. Even Radharani, she sees that all the Vaishnavas, they're more advanced than I am. She thinks like that. Therefore, she is in charge of devotional service. Whenever she sees someone doing even a little devotional service, she says, Krishna, look at that. Devotee is doing such nice service. I wish that I could be so sincere as that devotee. So that's the attitude of a very great Vaishnava. We're not on that platform. But at least we are requested, at least we are advised to come to the second-class platform, Madhyam platform, where we see innocent people as potential Vaishnavas, and we try to give them the mercy of the Lord, whether it be prasadam or books or philosophy, or even just a kind word. Because Srila Prabhupada said, even at the best of times in Kali Yuga, maybe 1%, 2%, maybe 5% of the population of the world would become pure devotees. Pure devotees means those who have no other idea in their life except for to serve God. They may not be fully realized. They may be only 70% pure. Once Prabhupada was in Australia and he was giving a lecture, and they had built a particularly big vyasasan for him. It was high. It was like you needed a ladder to get up to it, you know. This one is high, but it was higher than this one. And there was a staircase for Prabhupada going up. So he was giving a very strong lecture, and he was saying that you have to be 100% pure to go back to Godhead, even if you have even a tinge of material desire, icha, then you have to come back again, and it must be 100% surrender. And all the devotees' jaws were like dropped, you know, because they were sitting there hearing this wonderful lecture and realizing that none of them was going to go back to Godhead if that was the condition. So then after Prabhupada finished the lecture, he got up, stood up, because he was a short man anyway, and he was on this vyasa, and he started to walk down the stairs. So he got down to the first stair, and then he looked around and he saw the devotees and said, even if you're only 90% pure. Then he took the next step. He said, even 80%. And then he took the next step and he said, even if you're only 70% pure, you can go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Everybody cheered. Haribo! So even if there are a few percentage of the world who are pure Vaishnavas, they can change the whole atmosphere by their activities. And if the rest of the world simply cooperates, simply offers deference to the devotees, they will go back to Godhead. They will be purified. So it's not that hard. But the first thing is that ourselves, within our own community, we have to avoid this desire and hatred. Now desire, material desire, has to be transformed by practice of sadhana. Then, gradually, there will be an awakening of knowledge. The senses will become illumined with knowledge. We'll begin to see. We'll get realization. Just like in the morning, when you slept 6, 7, 8 hours, had a long day yesterday, and you had a heavy rest, and at nighttime, you're completely lost to the world. You forget who you are, and you're somewhere in Never Never Land, and dreaming. Then the alarm goes off. It's like, you know, or I don't know about you, but these little, you know, battery-operated clocks, they just don't do it for me. I've got a Philips electric clock that sounds like an air raid siren in Belgrade. Because, you know, I gotta get up in the morning. It's my job. But, you know, it's a rude awakening. And the first thing is, I mean, I travel a lot. And I actually wake up in the morning and I sometimes don't know where I am. I've got to think for a few minutes. Am I in New York or am I still in London? I can't remember. Anyway, the first thing is you come to that awakening where you are. And then gradually, as you start to wake up a little more, you remember, it's Thursday morning. Yesterday I was at the temple, we had nice kirtan prasadam, but now I've got to go to work. And then you remember, gosh, I got an early appointment this morning. Got to be at work at 9 o'clock and it's 8:50. You jump up out of bed and, you know, whatever, everything comes back gradually, and that's how self-realization takes place. But you've got to transform. You've got to deal with your desires. You've got to look at yourself. You've got to examine yourself and look at your material desires. Lust, kamesha, krodesha, raja, gun, samudbhava. That Krishna says this is our biggest problem, is lust. You know, this is our enemy sitting in our mind, in our senses. You got to deal with it. So how, make a plan how I'm going to transform my lust, how I'm going to regulate my life. Yukta hara viharasya, yukta chestasya karmasya, yukta svapya bhavodasya. Regulate your life, control your desires. And this envy, hate, it's got to be given up. We've got to realize that there's no value in envy of others. We don't gain anything from it. By committing offenses against others, by blaspheming them, by physically offending them, by colluding with others, by getting involved in party spirit, by politics, it does not matter if your political party is right. But if you create a disturbance in the community and the preaching is stopped, then you become asara or useless. Prabhupada did not find fault with his god brothers for any major reason except that they spoiled the preaching. The preaching stopped. So we should stay as far, far away as possible from any kind of fault-finding. This is in the Upadeshamrita. The very first verse says that this fault-finding is, if you can give up fault-finding, you become qualified to initiate people into the science of Krishna consciousness, practically. You have to control the urges, vacho vega, manasa krodha vega, jiva vega, udaro pasta vega. But etan vega, yogisha heta dira, sarvam apimam pratibhim shashisha. If one can tolerate the urges of the senses and give up fault finding, that propensity is there. We found fault with Krishna. If we can find fault with Krishna or become envious of Krishna, you can find fault in everybody. But somehow or other, we've got to learn to avoid that. And one way, of course, practically, is if we do, and in the intercourse between different devotees, there's bound to be some friction. This is not the kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of Maya. That's a fact. It is the kingdom of Maya. We're in the world, everybody all around us, all these wars and problems. And I was at a hastily convened inter-religious and police dialogue the other day. It's something to do with some killing called Diallo. Yeah, some African. Was his name Diallo? Is that it? Okay. So there's a lot of politics going on now because of that. People are taking advantage. Everybody's forgotten about the man. He's dead and gone. But, you know, people are getting mileage one way or the other. So the police are doing their work, and they called in Brooklyn, all the religious leaders of all the different communities, and they called us too, so I went along. And it was interesting. I mean, the idea was interesting. They wanted to hear from us what our ideas were. And most of the people there were talking about little specific details, like somebody brought up this thing that police do what they call verticals. It means they go into a neighborhood and they find out people who they don't recognize or who don't have a place to stay. And if they say they stay in a particular building, then they, first of all, they arrest them, then they take them in the building and go to the door, knock on the door, does this man live here? No, we don't know him. And then they take him away or whatever. So somebody had a suggestion that there should be police in each neighborhood who have been there for a long time and know all the people in the neighborhood. And so if someone from outside comes, then they know he's a foreigner to the neighborhood. But if someone actually belongs there, they'll know it because they've been there for 15 years or whatever. I mean, they were all good points. But they were missing something that was, well, a few things. And of course, I kept my mouth shut because, you know, well, I'm a Hare Krishna, what do I have to say? But I, somehow or other, am not one to keep quiet. At least I'll tell a joke or something. So I started to preach. I got my chance. And I said, look, the real problem we're facing here is simply false bodily conception of life all the way around. Everybody's in darkness and ignorance. And I was really surprised. There was one rabbi there who, actually I said more than that. I said that if we really want to solve the problem, first of all, it's got to start at the level of the clergy. They first of all got to show that they can get along together, that they don't just think God is only in my church, that they don't hate one another and try to do battle against one another. Because if their congregation or parish sees that they have that attitude amongst each other, how are they going to learn? And then I said that there's got to be some real internal cleansing. Lust, anger, and greed are the problems. People are living a lifestyle where they think more is better. You can't be happy unless you've got a big house and a big car and a big stereo and this and that and prestige and money in the bank. And it's all illusion. And the clergy, they've got to train people. Simple living. You can be happy. Someone may be wealthy, someone may be poor, but that's not going to be a marker for their happiness. That's not going to be a barometer for their happiness. Real happiness comes from inner peace and satisfaction. And, you know, this rabbi and a few others, they couldn't grasp it. It went too far over their heads, you know. They went back to their details. But how are we going to deal with it ourselves within our own community? Well, one way, practical way, is that if we feel that we commit offense against someone, we should go to them and apologize. It sounds kind of awkward. It is awkward. You know, you commit offense against someone and but you'll be surprised if you try it. It's a very interesting experience. You'll find that person, his attitude, especially if he's a Vaishnava, his attitude will totally change. And he will be very much impressed by your humility, etc. So there are many things that you can do to avoid this mentality. Just to finish, let you go for prasadam, but I wanted to impress upon you how important this idea is. It's connected with all the problems all over the world. We can't teach anyone until we teach ourselves. And these wars and petty intrigues and battles are just going to go on heating up. getting hotter and hotter and more of them, till it becomes unbearable. Chaitanya Bhagavat. The Chaitanya Charitamrita we all know, Prabhupada translated that. The Chaitanya Bhagavat is more the stories. There's more philosophy in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's a lot of Chaitanya Leela. But anyway, these quotes are there. I'll just read a few of them. The Vaishnava devotees of the Lord are eternally pure and realized souls. Sometimes there are differences of opinion amongst them, which might appear like an argument, but in fact it is an amazing relationship between devotees. Foolish rascals who do not understand this exchange praise one Vaishnava and denounce the other. Such a mentality will lead to destruction of faith and knowledge. Any person who sides with a Vaishnava against another Vaishnava and criticized him is destined to be destroyed. If Vaishnavas are offended, even by an assembly of renunciates or sannyasis, such an assembly is more irreligious than a group of drunkards. For the drunkards, there is still a chance of salvation, but for those who are critical of Vaishnavas, there is no hope for liberation. There are many examples of Durvasa Muni. He offended Ambarish Maharaj, and he thought he was so powerful, but Vishnu couldn't tolerate it. He sent his Sudarshan Chakra. And Durvasa Muni, by his mystic power, he tried to escape the chakra. He went all over the universe. He prayed to Brahma. He prayed to all the demigods, please help me. They all said, we can't help you. You've offended a Vaishnava. You can't do anything. He went to Lord Shiva finally. Lord Shiva said, I'm sorry. The only person who can help you is the Vaishnava himself. Finally, he did that. Shobari Rishi, he was meditating underwater for 40,000 years under the water. He wouldn't stop breathing. But because he had offended Garuda, the bird carrier of Lord Vishnu, he offended him. Because Garuda had determined that there was some lake where he wanted to get fish. It's a bird's food to eat fish, and the Shobari, without considering who he was offending, told him no, he couldn't come to that lake where he was meditating. And because of that, Shobari fell down. There's so many examples. Lord Chaitanya, even when he was at the house of Srivas, he thought that his own mother was a Vaishnava Aparadi, because she had offended Advaitacharya, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting there in the mood of Vishnu in the house of Srivas Thakur, and he called for Advaitacharya to come, and then Advaitacharya offered his obeisances, and at that time Mother Sachi immediately took the chance to get the dust from his feet, and Lord Chaitanya was very happy. Now my mother can be saved. But anyone. Lord Chaitanya absorbed the sin of Jagai and Madai into his own body. He then said, begin kirtan. Then this black shroud of sin will lift from my body and enter the bodies of those who criticize the devotees of the Lord. One never advances in spiritual life by finding faults in other Vaishnavas. In fact, only sinful reactions are increased. So give up all your fault findings. To criticize and find faults in pure devotees of the Lord is the most grievous offense against the holy name. O holy name, how can you bear the criticism against your pure devotees through whom your glories have been propagated? You can never tolerate criticism against those who have dedicated their lives. Such offenders are annihilated. Therefore, the conclusion is that having devotion is the foremost of all rules and regulations and rituals. Rules and regulations are meant to be subservient and secondary to devotional service. Those who are dissatisfied with this arrangement fall down from the path of self-realization. So we have to be very, very careful. Someone who has achieved devotional service, who has real bhakti for Krishna, they may not be the most expert in following the rules and regulations. Still, if they have devotion, we should be very careful about criticizing. Those devotees who are narrow-minded and bigoted start fighting over petty matters. This is a serious deviation from the path of spiritual realization. And so a really knowledgeable devotee will refrain from taking sides in such disputes. Good advice. Don't get involved in disputes. No advantage to you. Showing your opinion, how learned you are, how astute you are, but no advantage. The Vedas clearly describe that if one hears criticism of a Vaishnava devotee of the Lord, then he loses all of his accumulated piety and is cast into abominable conditions of life, birth after birth. Anyway, there's so many quotes, but you get the idea. So I really hope that all of us can make an extra effort to make our community really close and loving and nourishing and inspirational. Each and every one of us should be an inspiration to others. And as far as possible, leave the fault finding to the temple president, you know, or somebody like that. Somebody whose responsibility it is, but we should try to see the good, even a spark, and fan the spark. So are there any questions or comments?
No.
Yeah?
Just a comment that all these things which you're talking about, fault finding, apologizing, becoming, aren't these all connected directly to the ego?
Yes. Yes, sure. False ego.
Desire and hate, yeah, they are bad qualities in them.
Yeah, the first thing when the soul comes to the material world is a hankara, where the soul touches the pradana, that's called a hankara, it becomes captured by the bodily conception. Other question? Yes? Huh? Nice to see you too. The which? Cow slaughter issue? That's also... you know, if you commit offenses against lowly beings that are under your control, especially cows, but any animals. We were talking the other day how Vaishnava is compassionate to all living beings. So we take it for granted that we have dominion over all the other species. But that doesn't mean we have the right to slaughter them or kill them. A Vaishnava should try to avoid even stepping on an ant or killing a spider. I've had that experience. I mean, when I was a little child, somehow or other, my parents took me to a drive-in movie where they had this movie about some other planet or something, but there was this giant spider that was eating people. And it freaked me out like anything. That day forward, I couldn't stand spiders. And I would kill them whenever I got the chance. Because I just didn't know what would happen when I slept at night. But then when I became a devotee, I get up in the morning to turn on the tap, and if there's spiders there, I get some paper, and, you know, I don't want to even wash them down the drain. I avoid that. So that's... You know, that devotees become transformed by devotional service. And killing cows is the most sinful thing. And if you can slaughter animals, then, you know, humans are just the next step. It becomes very easy. Yes?
You mentioned finding fault in others. What do you do with the actions of others create such strong attraction that you cannot think clearly or go about your life with that peace of mind that you know you
need? You know, it's like we're all rational, intelligent beings, and you know, somebody's doing something wrong, and you know, see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil, you know, the three monkeys. No, you may see some fault, and there's different ways you can deal with that. You can bring it, the best way is to bring it to the attention of the authorities and let them deal with it, if you think it's there. Or, if you have, you know, you feel you can deal with it yourself, then go in a humble way and try to touch the feet of the devotee or somehow offer him a gift or compliment him for something he's doing right. You know, one way to criticize people is to first give them compliments for things that they're doing right. And then after that, you know, you can, when they're sufficiently puffed up, then you can. They use that in dealing with the staff, etc., all the time, you know, or in leadership. But in general, if it's not a very significant thing, you should know that if the person is chanting Hare Krishna, that he'll gradually overcome. Because Krishna says, apiche sudaracharo. Okay. Not durachar means someone who has a lot of bad habits. His achar, his behavior is bad. Durachar. And sudurachar means someone who's very poorly behaved. You know, he makes some big mistakes. But Krishna says, even apiche sudurachara, bhajate mama nanya bhak, if he's chanting in kirtan, if he's taking prasadam, if he's doing his best to engage in some kind of devotional service, sadureva samantavya, he will become saintly, he will become sadhu given time. I will see to it. So Krishna is telling us that even such persons who do make mistakes, they will get over it if they can do. So maybe encourage those people, wow, you're really chanting nicely, or that was a nice bhajan you sang, or I like the way you offer arti, or whatever it is, I like your devotion, or something. Encourage them positively. If it's something that needs to be corrected, then proceed with caution. I'm not saying you'd be totally blind, you know, like somebody's chanting Hare Krishna and kicking little kids in the head or something, and you know, oh, how nice, he's chanting Hare Krishna, you know. You gotta stop the mistake. But any other questions? Yeah. 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 There was a conversation between Sergeant Moshe and Srila Prabhupada in Chicago, and yeah. And you know, it was the same thing. He was there to have a dialogue with the local congregations, and he came to see Prabhupada. And Prabhupada told him, you know, we can solve all your problems. Just give us a few buildings, and we'll organize Sankirtan and Prasadam distribution, and all the crime will stop. And the sergeant was very polite. He was very diplomatic. But we didn't get the buildings. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita.